Let's begin, Bob, with the pretty shocking study that found that there was a lot more coronavirus circulating in the community than we even knew.
Yeah, Molly Smith, one of our reporters who's really been doing a great job of staying on top of COVID news, worked with researchers from University of Texas Houston School of Public Health, which has a branch in El Paso. They had done a really in-depth study of people with antibodies across Texas, and those antibodies are markers that someone at some point had COVID-19. When you look at the formal number of positive tests that we've had in El Paso, it would suggest that about 15% of the population has had COVID, but these antibody tests actually revealed that 29% of El Pasoans, so double the official count, had been exposed to COVID-19. This is not a surprise to scientists because so many people who are infected with COVID are asymptomatic, meaning they don't show any signs of the virus. So they go about their lives, and in many cases unknowingly spreading the disease. So this gives us a good idea of how widespread the disease has been in El Paso. And it's important for a lot of reasons, not least of which is it gives us an indication of how close we might be getting to herd immunity, you know, that collective number of people who've either been sick or who have been vaccinated that can really help slow the spread of COVID-19. So it's very important information as we go forward.
Yeah. And when you live in a border community, it's very important to work with authorities across those borders in a fight against a pandemic like this. Tell us about how you've been working with partners across the border.
So El Paso Matters is part of a unique binational collaborative called the Puente News Collaborative, which brings together news organizations in El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. So in addition to El Paso Matters, you have the El Paso Times, El Paso Inc., KVIA Television, Univision 26 in El Paso, and La Verdad, which is an independent news organization in Ciudad Juarez. So over the next couple of weeks, we're running a series of stories tied to the anniversary of the arrival of COVID in our community that really looks from a binational perspective at the impact of this illness on our community. This is the start of a collaboration that will explore a number of issues in the coming months. We're doing this because we're convinced that to really understand what's happening in our region, you have to look at what's happening on both sides of the border to provide context and to provide some guidance on how we make things better in this really unique part of the world.
El Paso is now using crisis intervention teams in mental health situations. I was surprised to see that it was the last major Texas city to do so. How's it going so far?
Yeah, some important context for this. The reason that El Paso finally adopted these crisis intervention teams in 2017 is because they were facing a large number of lawsuits alleging that police officers used improper deadly force against people in mental health crises. A number of people have been shot to death or otherwise killed by police as they've responded to mental health crises. Other cities in Texas and, frankly, across the country have used these crisis intervention teams to great effect. They pair up mental health professionals with police officers when they're responding, and these people are trained in de-escalation, and so they want to try to bring people into custody safely and get them the help they need. And the early returns from, you know, 2 years of this program in El Paso are very encouraging, according to officials. Elida Perez, who's covering a lot of mental health issues for us, does a really good story on this, kind of looking at where we are. Despite the positive indicators, the program's still not fully funded, and so not every mental health crisis is going to get one of these CIT responses. So we look at what it would take for the city to staff this really 24/7 across the city. It's an important issue. Obviously, with the pandemic, mental health challenges have gone up greatly, and I think everybody wants these to be resolved peacefully and safely so people can get the help they need, but it requires a much different sort of approach than we've used historically in El Paso.
You can find these stories and more at elpasomatters.org. Bob, thank you very much for the updates.
Thank you so much.